This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, July 20th, 2022. The Memorial of St. Apollinaris by Father William Doc Holliday.
The word of the Lord came to me saying,
"May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen."
The gospel this evening is a parable that speaks of how the word of the Lord is received. It is the same seed, it is the same word, but it depends on the ground upon which it falls as to whether or not it's going to take root. That ground is our hearts. That ground is what we must till to make sure that the soil is prepared for the word, that seed of our Lord. And we also have to nurture it, like you have to water a garden. You just don't plant seeds and leave them. They will die, or weeds will choke them, one of the two. This is what our Lord teaches about his word. But his word, which we know is inscripturated between the covers of the Bible, that word is something that we need to, again, till our souls to make sure that we receive it. And when I say receive it, I mean receive it all, and receive all for what it is worth. That first reading today, the first few chapters from the prophecy of Jeremiah, and a lot of people shut down on those parts of the Bible. When you speak of the Bible, particularly when it has things to do like the salutations of St. Paul, to the church of Corinth, greetings, this, that, I'm Paul, an apostle, and all this kind of, or portions of scripture like the Chronicles, where you get a lot of lists of this person begat this, and this person begat this one, and this person begat, it's like, come along, can't we get on with it? You know, I don't know about those personalities anyway, let's just pass this part. You never pass any part. The beginning of Jeremiah, very, very interesting in that, when you look at Jeremiah, all you have in the verses are God's call on Jeremiah's life, a little bit of a history of Jeremiah, but you can actually glean a tremendous amount of theology. A lot of scripture, some of the gospels, like the gospel today, a parable, a story, which teaches us specifically about the word of God. And we look at that, we learn about the word of God here. In this short salutation of Jeremiah, you hear and understand a whole lot about how God works with Jeremiah, and we know, well, what does that mean to me? When God tells us anything in his word, it means that we have to pay attention because it just doesn't apply to Jeremiah. It applies to us also. This is what I mean about gleaning a lot of deep theology from just the salutation, Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me saying, this one a lot of people are familiar with, particularly if you're involved in the Respect Life Ministries. Before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew thee. That is like the most important part of the first several verses of Jeremiah. This idea that God knew us before he formed us in the womb. Absolutely true. Should take that ball and run with it. Really makes a whole lot of our case when it comes to do birth starting at conception. Before, actually, for us, you know, a lot of life starts at conception. Life starts at conception. Actually, what God says here is he knows you before that. This is how involved in our creation God is. Before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew you. God not only knows us intellectually, like, you know, he chose me and he made me and he knows who I am intellectually. Not just that. In fact, it's fun to play with the Hebrew on this one because the verb used in Hebrew right there is knowing is not just intellectually, but actually being involved in action. So when God says, before I formed thee in your mother's womb, I knew you, it's not like I have some intellectual assent or understanding that you're going to be born. It's I formed you. It is, I am active in your creation. Yes, your parents got together. They love one another. They have a child, but it's because of my providence. It's because of my desire. It is my activity, because not every husband and wife who come together have children. It's in God's providence. God, before he formed you in the womb, preconception, he knows you. He is actively the catalyst for your very being. This lets us know, again, from a theological standpoint, that God just doesn't know intellectually. He was not just there to put everything together. He is our unique master from before our conception. He is the one who guides and directs by the power of his Holy Spirit. You must cooperate with that guidance and direction. It is up to you. That's what I talked about before, about tilling the soil of our heart. But nonetheless, God is the one who not only formed you, not only knows you in his mind, but is your unique master. This is why, and this applies to everybody. Well, these people don't believe in God. They don't believe. That's why there's consequences to their disbelief, because that doesn't matter what they believe. God has told us, revealed to us, that indeed he is the one who formed us, created us, is actively and uniquely our creator. We are the creatures. He's the creator. So we get this going on preconception. Once we are conceived, once we are born, I sanctified thee. I sanctified, I dedicated you, I consecrated you. I set you apart for something. This is not a matter of, so I wonder what he set me apart for. We know it. It's called the Great Commission. Go therefore, teaching them all that I have commanded you. This is the reality. This is the gospel. This is what he calls us to do. I sanctify, I dedicated you, I consecrated you to advance my kingdom in this world. This is what we are here for. We are here to be prophets, just like small p, not a capital P prophet like Jeremiah, but a small p prophet. Nonetheless, the same function. What does a prophet do? He tells people what God says. You know, for Jeremiah, he didn't have a Bible, okay? He had some Hebrew scriptures that we have in our Bible, but we have so much more. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We indeed are prophets. We tell people what God has told us. We're not like Jeremiah. We don't have to see visions and dream dreams and things like that. We have it right here codified. This is what we do. We prophesy. We tell people what God says. You don't have to have a theology degree to do that. You don't have to be, you don't have to go to seminary. You just have to know what God says. This is the importance of knowing scripture. And when I say know it, I don't mean cover to cover. I don't mean all this, you know, answering every question of theology that somebody asks you, but to know the general gist of scripture, to know it enough to where if somebody says something that's not there or something that contradicts scripture, indeed, you can point that out. You do need to know that much about it. Because, I mean, you get a lot of that. We get a lot of that from within the church right now. Actually, there was a member of this parish who was concerned over something. They used to still get diocesan communications, and they were concerned about something that they heard from the diocese. And they responded, hey, scripture doesn't say that. And the response was, this is from the diocese, the scripture, what was it? They went with Thessalonians, and they said, the scriptures say, pray without ceasing for unity. It's like, no, it doesn't. No, it does not say that. It says, pray without ceasing in Thessalonians. That's what it says. Well, I just added some stuff to it. Well, adding stuff made what you said wrong. That's the reality. This is why you need to know what God's word is, so you can correct. And even if it doesn't sound right, you do some research. That doesn't sound quite right. I mean, it sounds warm and fuzzy to say pray without ceasing for unity. Okay, but again, that's not what the scripture says. It just says pray without ceasing. All right, if you want to throw unity in there, but you can pray what you're supposed to pray without ceasing for a lot of things, like everything, all right, and according with his will. This is what we're called to be, prophets of the nation. It's not just Jeremiah, it's us. That's called evangelism, all right, and that's what we're called to do. Now, when we hear stuff like that, a lot of us don't like to take that ball and run with it. Starts all the way, you're all evangelists. The response is generally just like what Jeremiah's in scripture. Every now and then there'll be like an interjection, exclamation. They'll say, ah, Lord, or, you know, woe is me. Every now and then they'll do it two times. This is the only place I can remember in scripture. I don't have it memorized, but this is the only place I can remember. Jeremiah, when he responds to God, you know, like, nobody wants to do what God says. Like Moses, oh, no, I got a speech impediment. I don't speak well. Can't send me. Oh, yeah, I can. Okay, just do what I tell you. Jeremiah, three times, he actually does like you do with a little kid. Three times. That's exactly what it says in scripture. It doesn't matter what version you read. Three times. Lord. Like you're correcting God. You know, I've set you aside. Lord, because I cannot speak, for I am a child. One thing when we hear about, when you read that word in our culture, a child is a little, God is not talking to a little child. What he's talking about is I'm being young. We see it even in the New Testament. St. Paul and Timothy, let them not scorn your youth. Timothy was a young man. Jeremiah, same thing, probably in his early 20s when this is going on. And so when he says, I am a child, he's not saying chronologically he's a child. Lord, I can't go because I'm in my 20s and I don't have any authority to speak to anyone, which is really true in his culture. And when you're 20 years old, you don't have to say to anybody, you're 20 years old, which there should be more of that going on in our day and age. Different subject for a different day. But anyway, I got no authority to say anything. Remember our Lord? How old was our Lord when he started his earthly ministry? 30. Why? Because that was when you just first started to get any kind of credibility when you spoke, when you're 30. But even when our Lord speaks, the Pharisees confront him one time. He's talking about Abraham, and there you go. You're not yet 50 years old. You don't have real authority to say a word about theology when it comes to the profound stuff until you're 50. You're not even 50 years old. So Jesus even started early, but Jeremiah, Lord, I'm a child. I'm in my early. I got no authority. Lord teaches him a lesson. Say not that I am a child, because what has the Lord called him to do? Tell people what he has to say. So what we're learning here theologically is God is responsible for what is said, no matter who says it. It doesn't matter if it's a man, a woman, young, old, whatever. God is responsible for what is said. This is why you need to present what he says, and not what you think he says, not what you think feels warm and fuzzy, not what you think people want to hear, what he says. If you keep yourself within those parameters, you're good to go. This is what we're supposed to be doing. This is the problem. This is another reason why we're having a lot of problems in our day and age. Well, no, in this day and age, we don't say this anymore because that was for their culture. No, it wasn't. It wouldn't be in the scriptures if it was just for their culture. It's in the scriptures for us to learn. This is who we are. We are evangelists. We cannot shirk the responsibility as much as we would like to. Lord, please don't send me. Yeah, that's for priests and bishops. No, it's not. It's for everybody. God is responsible for what is said. You just repeat what he says, the deposit of the faith, scripture, the traditions of the church, and the consistent magisterial teachings of the church throughout history, and he will sustain you in that. He will sustain you in this presentation of what he has to say. When you start messing around with what he says, there's where problems arise, like we have going on now in the church. And to say problems is an understatement. Why? Because a lot of what God has had to say is either being twisted, being mispresented, or just ignored completely. It is very sad for me to hear very regularly, I've been a Catholic for 50 years and I've never heard that. Yeah, I don't doubt that at all, but it's true nonetheless. This is just the reality of times in which you live. But if you stick with his message, he will sustain you in that. Okay, this is the reality. Lo, I have set thee this day over the nations, to root up and to pull down, to waste and to destroy, and to build and to plant, talking to Mr. O'Sullivan before, and I said, could you imagine if the bishop laid hands on the newly ordained during their ordination and said that in our day and age? Though I set thee before the nations to root up and to pull down, to waste and to destroy, and to build and to plant. You don't plant in soil until it's been tilled. You know, for those of you who are not into the agrarian thing, that means busting up the ground. If you just throw seed on regular ground, it's going to sit on top of the ground. It's going to die. That's what happens to seed. You need to break up the ground. Breaking up anything is, particularly if you're the thing being broken up like our hearts, we don't like that. It's painful. But nonetheless, it must be done. We're talking about giving people medicine here. And when you put medicine on a lot of things that we have going on, infections, a lot of times that infection has to be drained, which that ain't no fun, grammar, but it's a reality. And that's the only way the medicine works. Same thing with the gospel. This is why our Lord says in these words, I have sent you to root up and to pull down, to waste and to destroy. What is he talking about here? Setting straight things that are crooked. Setting straight misunderstandings of things. You correct people, they don't like it. They don't like to be set straight. I've never heard that before. Okay, you heard it now. This is reality. This is what, you know, St. John the Baptist, what is the St. John the Baptist mission? To make straight the paths of the Lord, to set straight those things that are crooked. Each and every one of us is called to do the same thing. That's why you need to know what straight is. Actually, that's where we get the term orthodox, to straighten, orthodoxy, straight teaching, orthodontist, straighten your teeth. That's what that means. Orthodoxy is straight teaching. Heterodoxy is something that is taught now that has not been taught, or something that is different than what was taught before. This is what we see a lot of in the church. You'll hear the word heresy a lot of times, which, unfortunately, we are hearing that. Heresy is a very technical and specific term. You do hear that occasionally, but most of what you hear is heterodoxy. It's heterodoxy. It's something that's never been taught by the church before. And there's no good reason, because heterodoxy usually conflicts with, doesn't contradict, that's heresy, but heterodoxy conflicts with orthodoxy. We cannot have that. Unfortunately, we do. This is why I need to know the scriptures. This is why the Holy Spirit moves in us. Because we got to root up our misunderstandings. We got to pull them down. We got to waste and destroy our misunderstandings. And after we do that with ourselves, we're supposed to do that with others. John the Baptist did it. Our Lord Jesus Christ did it. We're supposed to be like him, right? Everybody likes that being like him when it comes to being nice to everybody. But when it comes down to repent for the kingdom of heaven's hand, oh, no, that's not for me to say. If you're one of his servants, you must. This is what he's called us to do. This is what the Lord says. Because after, again, you till the soil, after you drain the infection, after you straighten the crooked paths, then you build and you plant. You build a person up after you correct them. You don't correct your kids and just leave them like that. You correct them, then you let them know why you corrected them, and then you tell them that there'll be rewards if they do well. We're the same way. This is the way we need to present our faith. It's not because this is the way, it's a method that some people use. It's the method that our Lord teaches us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.